So I want to give you just a taste of what meditation can be if you feel like joining me. So this will be fairly brief, but let's start by just becoming aware of how you are sitting in your seat right now. Perhaps you can feel how your body is resting on the chair. Becoming aware of your back as you rest against the back of the chair. Allowing your body to become the anchor that Deb talked about in the story. And then, when you're ready, just taking a couple of deep exhalations. Inhale normally and just exhale. And allowing yourself to exhale all the tension, all the anxieties, all the ideas that you came in with, because just allowing yourself to be welcomed in this moment, in this space. Might even like to breathe out with let it go. Let it go. And just notice how your body feels. And perhaps scanning the body and noticing any tightness or tension, and just gently softening it. Perhaps feeling how your hands are held in your lap, how your feet are resting on the floor. And just becoming aware that you are breathing. This extraordinary miracle that we breathe, our life depends upon it, and we don't even think about it. So just noticing the breath coming in and the breath leaving the body. Nothing to do. Nowhere to go. No one to be. Just in this moment, right here. Perhaps noticing the silence and allowing yourself to become immersed in the silence. Allowing the silence to interpenetrate with your body, all the cells of the body becoming infused with silence. And of course, thoughts will arise. And when you notice that you're thinking, just say thinking and bring the attention back to the breath, noticing whether it's deep or shallow, fast or smooth, or welcoming noise. And just notice how that sound felt in your body. What happened to you when that happened? And just notice that. Because this is what happens in all of our life. We get to one place and then something unexpected happens. And we want to be able to notice that without judgment or criticism of ourselves or others, just saying, this is what's here right now.
It's my pleasure this morning to introduce Howard Silver, who will provide today's homily. Howard has been a member of USG since 1991 and is well known for his generosity of time and talent in helping to keep our 90-plus-year-old building and grounds in good order. Howard has been a dedicated practitioner of meditation for 6 years. Howard.
My first experience with meditation was at USG. For many years, USG held meditation in the Austin Youth Lodge before the service on Sundays, which was organized by long-term members Jerry Lindauer and Jamie Preston. We would meditate silently for 20 minutes, although it was hardly silence because of the loud buzz of a pump from the large fish tank in the room. Then after Jerry or Jamie read a Buddhist teaching to us, we would move outside for silent walking meditation in the grove. Some of you may recall images of folks blankly moving around the grove, resembling Walking Dead characters when you're arriving for service. In the late 90s, I attended a men's retreat at Murray Grove, where one afternoon was spent with Jerry doing a masterful job of teaching us about meditation. At various times in my life, I have struggled with anxiety and depression issues. I have tried many paths to break free from them, including therapy, medication, and Landmark Education, formerly known as EST, as well as taken numerous self-help seminars like Franklin Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, which I hope would make me feel more productive and therefore feel better about myself. This path on the desire to break free from being held back by fear and anxiety led me to meditation. I took a course known as Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, developed by Dr. John Kabat-Zinn, which is based on mindfulness and meditation teachings derived from Buddhist thought and taught in a secular and practical way. After taking this course, I was able to get the taste and feel of Buddhist teachings and deeply sense how the practice of meditation could help me with lifelong issues of insecurity, unhappiness, and a lack of self-worth. This was in contrast to much of my experience in therapy, which always seemed to revolve around, "You're a smart guy, you can figure this out." Although I most often was able to figure things out, I always seemed to revert back to feelings of discomfort similar to those I had experienced before. A short time after I started practicing meditation, I began to realize that it is really not helpful for me to try to figure things out in my mind. The practice of meditation helped me face my worries and fears inside while observing them in a non-critical and kind way, with a comforting awareness that all of us share the same similar difficult feelings at times in our lives. I can now pay attention to the physical distress that I feel in my body when I'm fearful, angry, and I'm aware that this is likely part of my flight or fight response and not based on the reality of the threat or fear that I am experiencing. With this awareness, I will try to take a pause, feel the stress in my body, breathe, and focus on myself staying calm. This enables me to respond in a kind and skillful way instead of with aggression and anger that I would surely regret later. There is a meditation and mindfulness practice called loving kindness, or as known in Buddhism, the metta practice, which is the concept of ingraining in your life kindness towards yourself and all other living beings. When I first heard the loving kindness teaching, I thought, whoa, this sounds like way too much kumbaya for me. After more exposure to this teaching, which often involves reciting phrases that are meaningful for you in expressing intentions of kindness, I started to appreciate the practice. One that particularly resonates for me is, may I be happy, May I be healthy. May I be free from inner and outer harm. May I care for myself joyfully. Coming from a family history that was by nature critical and judgmental, expressing kind and positive and self-loving thoughts is a great shift. I realize that by using kindness towards myself, I'm able to let go of much of the stress and isolation that I struggled with in the past. And I can see that this self-judgmental and critical mind is a relic of the past and was actually one of the greatest causes of my discomfort. Along with fellow church members Jerry Whalen and Sharon Mufuru, I am fortunate to have been able to attend 2 5-day silent retreats led by Oren Sofer, a highly respected meditation and nonviolent communication teacher who is actually will be coming to USG to do a day-long workshop on January 12th. When attending a silent retreat, you're encouraged to keep all electronic devices off, not to read and not to talk except during the group teaching sessions. So, my usual daily routine of regular texting or emailing, Facebook, as well as checks of my news feed were all off the table. As Sharon's sons David and Lusato aptly put it, "Mom, aren't you even allowed to color?" By about midway through these retreats, I realized that a walk outside on the beautiful surrounding grounds, hearing the birds and other animals around me, and feeling the comfort of my feet gripping the soft earth as I walked, was all the stimulation I really needed to feel calm and content in my life. After the retreat, I went to a USG auction event sponsored by Rick Rhodes to play pickleball. This was my first attempt at pickleball, a sport popularized by baby boomers like myself, and is something in between tennis and ping pong. I arrived at the tennis club as a newbie and feeling some trepidation, as I had played tennis maybe once before in my lifetime when I was a child. After basic instruction and the start of play, I decided to isolate my focus on the sound of the pickleball as it hit my paddle and the feel of my feet as they touched the golden wood floors. By focusing on creating the sound of the ball hitting my paddle and the feel of my feet on the wood, I was able to relax into the flow of the game nicely. When play broke, I got comments like, "Hey, good game. Do you play tennis?" My daughter Jessica, who has always been the very skeptical one in the family when it comes to meditation, just had a baby boy. And I had one unexpected, delightful surprise when during her pregnancy, she asked me if I wanted to join her and her husband while they meditated with an audio tape from their natural childbirth class. The baby, my first grandchild, was born in November. The meditation she learned in her natural childbirth class helped her and her husband stay calm and relatively comfortable and focused during what turned out to be a beautiful natural delivery. USG is now a major part in my journey with mindfulness. I have become passionate about helping to organize our numerous programs of classes and events and helping to share the benefits I have received from my mindfulness practice. From the words of Leonard Cohen, "Ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light comes in."
Deborah's going to say a few words.
Oh, okay.
So Howard wanted me to say, you know, what you've heard is absolutely what my experience of mindfulness has been. But how do you get started? You know, that's what a lot of people say. You know, well, what is this? How do we do it? And basically, there are lots of different ways. There are courses to teach the foundations of mindfulness. And you certainly can find those on the web, looking around in Philadelphia. There's some good centers at Jefferson and at Penn, and also some other people who teach individually or in groups. But the idea of it is finding a time to be still, to be quiet, to listen to yourself and to listen what's going on. And I tell people it's a little like water dripping on a stone. You know, drip by drip, the water smooths the stone. And I think that meditation is like that. We've gradually learned to sit and be still, and our minds sometimes will race, and our bodies sometimes will feel itchy. We just stay with it day after day, and gradually you begin to find that you're less reactive, that, you know, just what happened just now when I was leading the meditation, it was a wonderful simile for what happens in our daily lives. You know, we're going to something and something happens and then we're off on a tangent. Can we accept that? Can we just allow, okay, so that's what happens now. And this is, I think, what mindfulness meditation can really help us with. It's just a matter of being what Jon Kabat-Zinn says, noticing in the moment exactly what's happening without judgment. Without judgment of other people, and with, most importantly, without judgment of ourselves. This is what is. This is what is.